Alright, so I have started the recorder and opening the Kindle. And we're at NTI Galatians chapter 5, which I have on page 333.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Watch your mind, for it is only your own thoughts that may enslave you. Whenever you do not feel free, you are believing illusions. There is a direct correlation between your thoughts and beliefs and your present experience. But as you have already been told, your experience, when it is not the experience of love and absolute freedom, is not truth. This means you are not powerless to your experience. One thing that's really, I think, great about this particular teaching is that it's telling me that if right this second I'm not perfectly happy, it's because of a thought in my mind right now. And what I learned to do was I learned to look and see what thought is in my mind right now. You know, and it can be very, very simple little things like, geez, I don't want to do the dishes. I mean, if you think, geez, I don't want to do the dishes, and you believe it, you don't feel happy. You know? And so I learned to look and see, oh, what thought did I just now think? Because right now I'm not happy. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't realize it's that simple. For some reason, they think they have to go digging into the past. You don't have to dig into the past for why you're not happy now. You only have to look at right this second. What did I just think? What was that thought? Ah, geez, the phone's ringing again. Boom, I'm not happy, you know? Damn alarm clock. Boom, I'm not happy. You know, so you don't have to look far. And at some point you realize that the only reason my life is not an absolutely joyful experience is because of this stuff that I'm accepting. By accepting, I mean, as far as I know, there's no way to control the thoughts that come into the mind. They just come. Where you have your choice when they come is whether you kind of accept them and bring them all the way in or not, or if you just let them go. Because if you don't accept a thought, you know, bring it in, a thought comes and it goes. Like it doesn't do anything, it just kind of swims by. But if you accept it and believe it, you know, then it becomes a part of how you feel. So, you know, what I learned to do in the beginning is what I call, I take that back. You know, like, oh, damn, I don't want to do dishes. Notice in happiness. And then I'd say, I take that back. I'm willing to do these dishes. And so I had already embraced the thought. I knew I embraced it because I already felt the grumpiness, you know, that was attached to it, right? But then I would just change my mind. So, you know what? I take that back. I see that what that decision wasn't in my best interest, that I don't want to do dishes. Because guess what? I got to do them. So why not? And you know, and some teachers will even tell you, and I think I did a little of this. I didn't have to do a lot of it. But some teachers will even tell you to look for what can I enjoy in this. You know, and like, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm not sitting there thinking I don't want to do dishes, I actually do kind of enjoy the warm water on my hands. You know, I kind of enjoy the suds. And so, you know, why not look at what I do enjoy about what's in front of me instead of telling myself I don't want to do this? Because if I tell myself I don't want to do this, I'm going to feel lousy. Why should I feel lousy if I don't have to? And that's what this is saying. Your experience, when it is not the experience of love and absolute freedom, is not truth. This means you are not powerless to your experience. Your natural state, if you aren't feeding yourself some kind of a thought that's bringing you down, your natural state is joy. We don't make joy. We make unhappiness. We make suffering. That's what we make. If we just stop making stuff, we're actually happy. That's our natural state. So whenever you're not happy, it's because you chose to believe some thought, right? But you're not powerless because you can take it back. You can change your mind because that's not your natural state. If you're powerless to anything, you're powerless to absolute joy. And I've never heard anybody complain about that. You know, I mean, absolute joy is your natural state, and at some point, everything's going to evaporate but that. But then I think that's going to be okay. I think that's going to be okay. Yeah. So verses 2-6. You do not know who you are, but you are opening to the possibility that the truth may be true. This is to create an opening in your conscious awareness through which spirit can flow as you. You are still resistant to my words because you still want to believe in the world. But if you will focus your willingness on the part of your mind that wants the truth above everything else, you will find that willingness will grow. And with it, joy will expand within your conscious awareness. When we were reading NTI Luke, it told us that in all of the spiritual path, but we could also say in all of life, you're really at any moment only having two experiences, no matter how many experiences it looks like. One experience is your experience of your willingness, and the other experience is experience of your resistance. That's the only two things that are going on. And it said you'll know when you're experiencing your willingness because you will experience joy. So resistance is really our primary problem. And, you know, you could say, what are you resisting? You're resisting whatever's here now in this moment. If I'm saying I don't want to do dishes, I'm resisting the fact that I have to do dishes. If I'm saying, you know, I hate that guy over there, I'm resisting the way that person is being or the way I perceive that person. Might even just be resisting my perception of the person. But whenever you're unhappy, it's because you're resisting something. And, you know, this is where, like, Byron Katie's type of teaching comes in, loving what is. Because if you just let go of resisting, then you're joyful. So, you know, resisting is really what's going on. We're resisting whatever is in our experience. And that's the problem. And so what this is saying, if you want to let go of resistance, well, believe it or not, you can't let go of resistance by resisting it. Because that's just more resistance. So how do you let go of resistance if you can't resist it? You focus on your willingness. You put your attention on your willingness, right? And the more you focus on your willingness, the more your willingness kind of expands and grows and becomes a natural part of your experience. And pretty soon, it's really funny, you'll notice you're willing, I mean, truly happy and joyous to do something that at one time you would have been resisting and grumpy about. Like I remember the very first time, I always hated pulling weeds. I always hated pulling weeds. And I remember in North Carolina one day I was out there pulling weeds as happy as can be. And then all of a sudden I thought, ah, look, you know, I'm pulling weeds. I'm happy. Because the willingness just kind of naturally took over. You know, I was just willing to do whatever needed to be done, willing to be with whatever was here to be with. So focusing on your willingness is the way to transcend resistance, but not resisting resistance. That doesn't work. Verses 7 to 12. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. Let me tell you what this means. For to explain this to you is to teach you who you are and how love works within the illusion. I have asked you to focus on your willingness, and I have told you that willingness is light in the mind. You will know this is true when you focus on that willingness, for it will give you the feelings of light. In the beginning of your acceptance, you see yourself as an individual, separate from everything within a very real world, and yet you call for love. That call is your willingness, eager to be reunited with itself in awareness. That call, being a spark of light, is your link to your source. Therefore, it comes to you with all of the power and strength of the source. You only need focus on it to become aware. Nothing else is needed. So again, I don't know about y'all, but definitely my experience is in starting the spiritual path, I was an individual, separate from everything in a very real world. That's just totally how I saw myself. But I had this inner calling, which in my case, it seemed like it was inspired by Peace Pilgrim. I had this inner calling. She talked about love. I thought of love as an emotion. She talked about love as if it was a power, and in fact it was the only real power in the world. And, you know, she had these miraculous experiences around people, even people who were planning to harm her. Where once they were in her presence, they couldn't carry it out. Like, this love was so powerful, they couldn't even carry out their own plan to harm her. And this really inspired me. So I wanted to know what she knew. I felt like she knew something I didn't know, and I wanted to know it. Okay, so that was the spark. And what this is saying is every one of us, when we start this spiritual path, there's some kind of a spark there. And it's saying focus on that spark. So in my case, focusing on wanting to know love or wanting to be only love like Peace Pilgrim, that's a good thing for me. Even now, saying it, I can feel it. So everybody has something in them that kind of lights up their heart a little bit when they let their mind start going in that direction. And this is saying, let your mind go in that direction. You know, it may only be a tiny, tiny spark now, but if you let your mind go in that direction, it's going to fan that flame, and your willingness is going to expand in your awareness. Right? Starting with sentence 13. As you focus on your willingness, you become aware of new ideas that come to replace old. This is truth come to a place replace illusion. By focusing on your willingness to accept these ideas, the individual mind begins to transform. As the mind transforms, sight is also transformed. Your perception of yourself as an individual becomes less dense. Your belief in the world as law is less solid. You focus more love on your willingness and you feel and see more. So you can see he's talking about a transition that's beginning to occur. You know, like one thought that may come to replace an old, the old thought may be, geez, I hate that guy, he's so annoying. And the new thought that may come may be, ah, whenever I judge that guy, I'm unhappy. You see, so a new thought comes to replace the old. And the new thoughts are truth. And they're waking us up. And the more we accept these new thoughts instead of the old thoughts, the more we start to naturally transform. We perceive things differently. We experience differently. Right? Starting with sentence 20. As the light expands in your mind through focus, you come to see the whole world is brightened, for the light expands in all minds as it expands in yours. This is the opening in a dark wall that you believed in until now. This is the crack in the individual consciousness that allows it to expand throughout consciousness. As you begin to see that all minds are one, you cease to see all minds and you become one. No longer do you sense separateness. No longer is there a you who is separate from everything. Suddenly you are everything and everything is love. So now he's talking about that individual transformation is now beginning to transcend the individual. You know, because you see that as you let go of these thoughts that aren't true, these false thoughts that you always believed before, and as you only accept and embrace the true thoughts, you see everything different. You know, the guy that was an evil guy, he's not an evil guy. Not only that, he never was an evil guy. He might have some confused thoughts, he might be suffering some pain, but you don't see an evil guy anymore. You know, everything becomes the light. Everything. And that doesn't mean that you won't turn on the TV and see murder. It's just your perception of why murder happens and what's going on and who's doing it is much, much different. It's no longer this really bad guy. It's just confusion acting out, right? It's just confusion acting out. So, and you begin to realize that everything is connected, and you begin to realize your connection to everything. And then what happens is you actually want to purify even more, because you start to understand how you're a part of the whole, and you start to understand how as you purify what appears to be someone else, a spark goes off in them and their journey starts. You know, and the more they purify, a spark sets off in somebody else and their journey starts. And you start to realize, this isn't me awakening and me becoming purified. This is the whole. You know, this is changing everything. And so then, you know, it becomes a service to continue to purify. It's not an individual pursuit anymore. It goes beyond the individual pursuit that it started to be. Sentence 27. This is the answer you seek. You seek it through love and by love. And it is in love that the answer is known. Therefore, in the beginning of Galatians, I don't know if you remember, but Jesus promised us a simple answer. Now he says, therefore, the simple way to know love and extend love within the world is to focus on your willingness as if it is your truth, because it is. Focus on your willingness as if it holds the answer to all questions, because it does. Focus on your willingness as if it is everything to everyone, because it is. Focus on your own willingness. That is love alive within the world. So he's saying it is really worthwhile. It serves a truly useful purpose for us to focus on our willingness, or for us to allow ourselves to be inspired. One of my favorite things, and it's been one of my favorite things ever since I started the spiritual path, is to spend the morning in contemplation of something that inspires me. And I spend the morning with that thing as if it is a seed, and I spend time with it until it grows into some kind of a plant, you know, which the Bible would call my daily bread. And then I go into the day with that, and I review that. You guys know this. I review that throughout the day. But this is one way of focusing on my willingness. I'm spending time with inspiration in the morning, and then I'm going back to that inspiration, looking at it again throughout the day, right? And there are other ways to focus on willingness. That's not the only way. Some people enjoy, you know, setting in meditation. Some people enjoy walking among nature. You know, people have different things. Some people enjoy gardening. Some people enjoy playing music. But whatever it is that inspires you, spending as much time as your day allows in that inspiration is a very helpful thing, right? Verses 13 to 15. The greatest commandment is to love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole strength, and your whole mind. This is to focus on your willingness with your every breath and your every thought. This is to let your willingness lead in your life. For to know your willingness is to know God. To love your willingness is to love Him. So instead of loving some external, imaginary God in the sky, which is how, you know, many people read that verse about loving God with your whole heart, etc., etc. They're loving some other. This says love that light in you. Love your feeling of being inspired. Love your feeling of devotion, or your feeling of surrender, or, you know, whatever that willingness feels like to you, love that. And when you love that, you are loving God. Because the same light that seems to be your willingness or your calling, that is God. And the more you go into that light, the closer you come to realization of what God is. Right? So love that. Sentence 6. The second commandment is no different than the first. It is to love your brother as yourself. This is to recognize yourself in your brother by recognizing in him the same call for love and the same willingness as is in you. It is to recognize that the same light in him is the one light in you, so that God in you is God in him also. In this way, you are the same. And so your love and focus for love is the same towards him as it is towards you. In this way, your love and patience for your brother becomes an expression of love for your own willingness, which in truth is the expression of the love of God. One thing I've learned to absolutely do completely naturally now is just love other people's willingness. You know, like whenever I see somebody being willing to, you know, to grow, to awaken, to purify, to discover why they're unhappy so they can transcend it, you know, any kind of willingness at all, I'm just really excited about that. And that's what this is saying. As you get jazzed on other people's willingness also, that's still loving your willingness because it's all the same willingness. So celebrate willingness wherever you see it. That's also helpful. Verses 16 to 18. Yes, live by the Spirit. That is to live by your willingness. It is not more complicated than that. In fact, it is very simple. You will be tempted to think with the world. In times of unknowing, you will think and act with the world. But your willingness is in action, and so you will see what you have done. Each moment of noticing is an opportunity for immediate repentance. Repentance is nothing more than remembering what you truly want and returning joyfully to the focus of your willingness. This is the dance of love, and the dance of love is the spreading of light within a welcome mind. So what this is saying then, again, you know, I told you guys that I used to be a screamer, you know, get angry and scream. So what this is saying is, you know, when I'm really aware of my willingness, I might be watching my mind carefully, I might be noticing the thoughts that are making me want to scream, I might be giving my willingness to let those thoughts go. But probably, you know, if that energy is still in me, at some point, someday, I'm just going to, you know, forget, and I'm going to scream. You know, I'm going to scream. And it says, I'm also going to notice that. But what it's encouraging me to do is when I notice that, just right now, remember what I want and change my mind. You know, I could stop the screaming now. You know, if you make a post that you realize is, you know, a post that you didn't really want to make, you can delete the post now. You know, it's like, I can take it back. You know? You know, you're not stuck with the fact that you forgot. As soon as you notice, you have a new opportunity, right?
Not carved in stone.
It's not carved in stone. Yeah. And it says this dance, it calls this the dance of love. Because the truth is, you're retraining yourself, is what you're doing. Because when you screamed or when you posted or whatever, you were acting out of old conditioning. And when you see that you acted out of old conditioning, then you realize, oh, I didn't want to do that. I take it back. You are retraining yourself. It's new conditioning, corrective conditioning, more helpful conditioning. And at some point, guess what? You're going to be automatically acting on the new conditioning.
You know, sometimes I think our slips teach us more than just doing the right thing, so to speak, because when we recognize that I really didn't want to do that,
yeah,
then we're very sensitive to when we're about to do it.
Yes.
And we watch.
Yes, exactly. And you can learn exactly what the cause was in the mind. Like with Jasmine, what I saw when I used to scream, one of the key thoughts in my mind was, she doesn't respect me. And every time that thought arose, I lost it. You know, she doesn't respect, she's 4 years old, like she's supposed to respect me. You know, but I thought she was. 2 years old, she's supposed to respect me. You know, but you know, that's how crazy we are. But you know, that thought, whenever I thought she wasn't respecting me, she's not respecting that I'm tired and I want to go to bed. You know, she's not respecting that I'm hungry and I want to eat. You know, she's, you know, she wants me to care for her. She's not respecting me.
That little jerk.
That little jerk. But it's true, that was the thought in my mind. And so the more I, you know, one thing I became alert to was that thought. And then as I became alert to that thought, I could see it arising. You know, so you're right, we learn from our mistakes. And that's why this is called the dance of love. It's not called you screwed up again, it's called the dance of love. You know, but it takes time for us to retrain ourselves and to allow that new conditioning to take hold. Right? Verses 19 to 21. This is a good opportunity to speak again of judgment and guilt, for both are a habit of yours. First, if you look deep within your willingness, you will not find judgment or guilt there. You will find only love within the light of willingness. That is because there is only love in the truth of God. So if you can find that place in you that is being called willingness, or that you might call inspiration, or you might call a spiritual calling, and if you can find that and allow that to kind of grow and go really into it, you know, he's saying you're not going to find any judgment there. Because judgment doesn't exist in God, right? You don't find judgment in that. So whenever you are judging, you're actually in resistance. You're not in willingness, right? You're resisting what you just said, maybe, right? But you're not in your willingness, which is the corrective power. You're in your resistance. So again, first, if you look deep within your willingness, you will not find judgment or guilt there. You will find only love within the light of willingness. That is because there is only love in the truth of God. Therefore, judgment and guilt must be illusion, because they are not in the truth of God. When you judge and find guilty, whether you seem to focus on yourself, another, an establishment, or the world, you are participating in illusion. When this happens and you see yourself doing it, recognize you are only thinking with the world. Dismiss your false thoughts and return your attention to your willingness. You are dancing. Through your dance, light is being extended through the mind. Every time you remember, you give the gift of light. So again, judgment is another one of our conditioned habits. And so he's saying, when you judge, doesn't matter whether you're judging McDonald's or yourself or your partner. When you judge and you see that you've judged, again, just say, I take that back. I'd rather focus on my willingness. I just take that back. And he says, every time you do this, again, he says, you're dancing this dance of love. But again, what you're doing is you're retraining yourself. You're moving from a conditioning that wasn't helpful to a conditioning that is helpful. You know, responding with love is still a conditioned response. But it's a conditioned response that comes from who you truly are, rather than a conditioned response that comes from who you aren't. But a conditioned response is just a habit. You know, it's just a habit. And you can be habitually loving, habitually open, habitually accepting. All of those habits can be also. In fact, they're much more natural to you. Verses 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness to oneself, goodness with others, faithfulness to God, gentleness within illusion, and self-control, which is willingness to continually return to the light of willingness within. So the fruit of the spirits, but you know, one of the ones that's most interesting to me is the self-control, the way it's defined here. Self-control is just being willing to return to your willingness every time you notice you stepped back into resistance. He calls that self-control, which he also called the dance of love. So the dance of love and self-control are the same thing here. Do not worry about your errors. They are nothing but opportunity for learning. Return to your willingness and joy. In your truth, you are spirit. So again, you know, there's something in us, the judgment in us, the resistance. I mean, it really is resistance. If I make a mistake, what I call a mistake, you know, like if I'm trying to let go of yelling and I yell, I think that's a mistake, then what we tend to do is we tend to judge ourselves for yelling. But if you really look at that, what you're doing is resisting what just happened. You know, and you're resisting the fact that you yelled. Willingness looks at the fact that you yelled much different. You know, willingness can still see the fact that you just yelled, but it doesn't have judgment. It just has, oh, I slipped for a moment. That's not what I want to do. Let me return. There's a big difference between judging yourself and going, oh, I slipped for a moment. That's not what I want to do. Let me return. You know? So the judgment comes from resisting what just happened. The willingness still looks at what just happened, but it accepts it happened, and it accepts that I can now make another choice. There's acceptance and willingness always. Even though, you know, lots of people get acceptance kind of messed up in their minds. They think acceptance means you're not going to change it. Acceptance doesn't mean you're not going to change it. It just means you're not resisting the fact that it happened. You admit, yep, that happened. I yelled. Let me take a breath. Let me remember what I want. You know, and I remember with Jasmine, I would apologize. I learned to say, ah, oh, I'm sorry, Jasmine, I slipped into my ego. I apologize. You know, that was the shift for me. That wasn't an apology out of guilt. That was a shift. You know, just explaining to her, because she just got yelled at, so I'm explaining to the person I yelled at, the stage is now changing, right? The scene is changing now. Change scene. And apology is how I change the scene. Yeah. So willingness accepts the fact that I just yelled or whatever. Resistance judges it.
At least for me, that usually escalates it too. Like,
yes.
That's what I've realized since I've been more aware of everything, you know, that I just can change it and then be happy that I was able to have the choice to change it. But before, I would judge myself over whatever I did, yelled or yelled at my dog or this or that, and then I would just, it would more and more boil up inside me to where then I would just be more and more out of control and stuff.
I'm laughing at you for yelling at your dog, just like I laughed at me for yelling at a 2-year-old
yeah.
kid.
Well, yeah, and I would yell at my dog or something, and then...
How's your dog
and then
react?
She would be, she's very, like, hurt, emotional. So she just really, like, you know, then she would start freaking out and then not want to, she could feel my energy and then she wouldn't want to eat her food. And then I'm just like, can you just eat the food so I can,
you sound just like me with my daughter.
And then she just gets more nervous. And then
there's no difference between you. That's exactly how I was. The big deal with Jasmine was I get tired at night and she doesn't. And I would want her to go to bed so I could sleep, but she wouldn't go to bed. And then she'd start crying because I'm yelling at her. And I'm yelling at her more because, would you just stop crying so I could go to sleep?
Yeah.
And just escalate.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like it's empowering to be able to say, okay, I did it, but
I'm sorry. And I don't know about you, but I'm sorry really worked for me. I mean, like I said, that was the transition for me. That wasn't me apologizing out of guilt.
Whenever I, instead of reacting, when I see that come up in my dog, well, I have 2 dogs, but just one of them just is very, very sensitive. I see that come up, and it's exactly how a child or something would react.
Yeah.
And if I even stub my toe or something, and I'm like, ah, you know, then she just automatically senses that and thinks I'm mad at her. And instead of like that making me feel more guilty and triggering more, I just stop it and I say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
And I give her some love and try to reassure her. And
that's what I did too.
That's a lot better than stops the cycle.
That's right. And you get a transition and you get
a
new
stage. That, I think, is the key to that whole point, is that that's what it would actually, it's not so much her reaction, it's me feeling guilty for what I did that escalates it.
Yes.
Because then I'm just pissed because you're showing me
how guilty
I
am.
Yeah, exactly.
So. You're showing me what an awful person I am.
Yeah. You know, if you just cut that out, I'm not an awful person. I just can stop it. That's actually power.
I understand. I understand. I guess I had anger management issues too, just nobody ever labeled me that way. But I understand you perfectly. I have no problem understanding what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the same with anything that I talked about when I punched you in the face or anything.
But I never did punch
you. It's like, it all stems back to the same thing of me feeling guilty or something, you know. It's always something that I'm feeling to myself. And then I just project that the other person is picking at that or something that may or may not be. But it all kind of ties in.
Okay, well, we need an assignment. And you guys will have to remember, because like I said, I got a few groups going now and I get my assignments messed up. But I think, and this, you'll have this one all through the holidays, because we won't be back till the new year. So the assignment is, when you notice you're in resistance of what is or what you just did or anything else, and you can notice when you're in resistance because you're not happy, right? When you notice you're in resistance, try shifting into willingness. And there's a lot of ways to do that. We just talked about apologizing, you know, if that's appropriate. I talked earlier, I don't remember if I had the recorder on or not then, but I talked about, you know, like if it's an idea like, oh, I don't want to do these dishes. Wait a minute. How can I see these dishes differently? You know, actually, I do kind of enjoy the smell of the soap or whatever. You know, just whatever way you can. There's not like one way to do it. Whatever way arises in your mind in the moment to help you. See if you can shift from resisting to being willing. And again, you can even shift from resisting to being willing when you just, quote, made a mistake. And that's the dance of love. That's the learning the new conditioning. And that's very beneficial, right? We can all see how learning new conditioning is very beneficial. So go ahead and do that dance. Shift into willingness and out of resistance.
And the way that is very helpful for me to do that is breathing, you know.
Yes.
Okay, so you're in resistance, and if you just take a few breaths really to join with your heart, then you can make the shift.
Yes. I used to breathe as well. And sometimes,
then you can look at it with the Holy Spirit instead of the ego.
Well, and sometimes for people like me and him, I'm realizing we're a lot alike now. Even though I never did punch, but if I punched somebody, as I showed you last week, I would have broken my
thumb.
I mean,
it's been a long time. Once I realized, like, I was 18 and I could go to jail.
Yeah, so you grew out of that. But, you know, sometimes for people with anger management issues, a part of the shifting into willingness does mean separating from the situation. I used to put myself on timeout. I used to, you know, when I was getting really angry, I'd tell Jasmine, I got to put Mom on timeout now. And I would go in the bedroom and close the door, because if I stayed in the situation, it was too hard for me to shift. So I had to physically remove myself from the situation in order to shift. And that's okay, too, if anybody needs to do that. Go take a walk, you know, whatever you got to do to shift from resistance to willingness. Sometimes it's just too hard, you know, when we're new at this in the heat of it. Yeah, it's right there. So leave. Leave. Yeah, that's okay. All right, then. I will go ahead and stop the recorder, and we'll have a bit of silence.